Yeah, so as Peter introduced, my name's Ben. I'm not supposed to put my hands in my pockets. I was here before. Many of you might remember me and my wife went over to Kenya with not Mission Aviation Fellowship, but really close, AIM Air. And yeah, part of my sermon's going to go into sort of the outcome of that. But to introduce what God has called us to next, All Tribes Christian Camp. If you're unfamiliar with this camp, it's on St. Joe's Island, right in the heart of the island, and I see representation here from ABK. I noticed Andrew wore his sweater today. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but and then also I know this church is a big supporter of Galilean, so we're happy to be part of the camp family and not competing at all or anything. We wouldn't want to, but we're all on the same mission for bringing kids to know Jesus and teenagers and adults alike. So yeah, as we see, our goal there to train up disciples who will go and reach all the tribes and peoples of the world. Yeah, that's a little drone view of our property there on the island. It's a unique camp. It's small, and it's God uses it for his work, so we're blessed to be a part of that. And I do want to say that it's Dina and I that are directors. We're co-directors, so I have to do all the coming up here talking stuff, but she does most of the work, so say that. But yeah, if you want to send your kids, volunteer, or get involved, you can barely read it, but info@alltribes.org is the email that you can get in touch with, or go to the website, www.alltribes.org. We're supported in our position there, and the camp relies heavily on people volunteering and donor support and stuff. So we're just blessed to be a part of how God works and how he's able to give. That's all I'm going to say about All Tribes, because I want to talk about some other stuff. So if you can go to the next slide. Today I'm supposed to go to it. Perfect, thanks. Today I want to talk about God's faithfulness through difficulty. Yeah, I just want to start by saying thank you for this opportunity. Dan was gracious enough to let me come and speak here. I went to Briarcrest like a couple others in the room, and Dan was, I don't know what you'd call him, like our dorm dad, or our dorm grandpa, I guess. We had like a dorm dad, and then he was the grandpa. And yeah, you can tell him I said that. But I don't know, he said he had some stories about me, but as is often the case in my life, I have an older brother who has paved a very strange path ahead of me, so I'm often living in his shadow trying to change people's view, but no, his stories are probably about my brother, so I'll say that. But yeah, today I want to talk about God's faithfulness through difficulty, focusing on Psalm 77. And yeah, so as I get into this, this is kind of largely, last time I was here, we were raising support to go to Kenya, and obviously now we're directors of a Bible camp, so plans changed, and this is sort of the story of how that happened. Like many people here, yeah, I'm just going to pray, gather my thoughts here. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your gentleness and your patience with us, Lord. And I just pray that as I speak here, it would be your words and you would touch the hearts of those in this room, Lord, to hear what you have to say to them. Thank you for all you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you ever been in pain? Have you been hurt? What I want to talk about today is the type of pain that causes you to question what you knew to be true, the pain of loss, broken relationships, a failed marriage, death of a loved one, physical or psychological pain that seems to have no release or cure, pain that causes confusion finds its way into the depths of our hearts. This morning, I want to talk about that pain and how we can work through that pain and even come to the other side, worshiping God. In 2019, Dina and I moved to Kenya as missionaries. This church, as I mentioned, and many people here were a big part of that. We were following God's leading in our life. The Lord provided in incredible ways. After all of the planning, speaking engagements, answers to prayer, God's provision of finances, months of training, language study, and indescribable stress of moving three small children to a foreign country. Above all this, just a clear, continual confirmation from God that we were following His will for our life. Until everything seemed to be going wrong. And it wasn't how we planned, and it quickly became apparent that we could not continue. We were struggling more than we ever had been before in our lives. Finally, after 10 of the longest and most frustrating months of both of our lives, we were transitioning back home, knowing that this chapter in our lives was over. The goal that we had worked for so many years was now over. This disappointment in my life forced me to confront some pain and work through that pain with God. And I don't want to say that this pain is equal or anything. We don't need to compare with other people who go through much worse things. But the point is that I had to work through it with God. They say misery loves company. And when I was struggling the most, this Psalm 77, was all that I could find to relate to. Just to hear of someone else struggling with God in the same way that I was helpful. Now, Psalm 77 was written by a man named Asaph as he worked through the pain in his own life. I want us to bring to the front of our minds pain that we might be dealing with or pain that we maybe have not dealt with from the past. And for some of us, pain that we may have to deal with in the future. So let's go through Psalm 77 and watch how Asaph deals with this pain in his situation and how God is faithful through his suffering. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelming with longing for His help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I searched my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will He never again be kind to me? Is His unfailing love gone forever? Have His promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He slammed the door on His compassion? You can probably sense Asaph's pain here. We saw in verse 2, he says, all night long I prayed and my soul was not comforted. Or in verse 3, I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for His help. Asaph is wrestling with the Lord. He's crying out to God in desperation, and he wants relief now. It's important that we note that we do not get to decide how God brings us relief. Asaph is frustrated that he is not receiving the relief he expects. And I do want to point out here in verse 1, it says, I cry out to God, I shout, oh, that God would listen to me. But in the King James Version, it says, He gave ear unto me, which is understood as an active listening of God. So he says he cried out to God, and God is listening to him. His frustration isn't that God isn't listening, because God hears our cries. But just because we don't receive the help we think we need does not mean that God has not heard us. Asaph knows God can hear him. His frustration is that the help he wants is not coming as he wants it. I was surprised when I read this psalm, surprised that someone could so perfectly describe what I was experiencing in my own life. And notice that we don't know exactly what Asaph is struggling with here. Which I love, because There's no opportunity for us to minimize our own pain in comparison. All we know is that Asaph's in pain, and that pain is causing him to struggle with God. His current situation has him thinking of the good old days in the past, as we see in verse 5. I think of the good old days long since ended. He's comparing how he feels now to how good things used to be. Do we ever do that when we're in pain or when we're facing difficulty? Do we ever look back and romanticize the past? Then we see in verse 7 what he feels as though his... see in verse 7 that he feels as though his present suffering is going to last forever. His situation felt like it would not come to an end. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Often when we're in a difficult situation, it seems like we'll never get relief. If that is you right now, I promise you there is hope. I promise. Asaph is troubled, and his situation is causing him to struggle with God. If we're struggling with God or have ever struggled with God, we can relate to this psalm. Now we can choose to ignore our pain. We can push it aside or try to numb it with the temporary distractions that the world has to offer. Or we can choose, like Asaph, to bring our troubles before the Lord. He can handle it. As we see in verse 2 here, Asaph, from the very beginning of this psalm, has brought his troubles before the Lord. If we can do this, what we are really doing is being honest about our helplessness and our weakness, crying out to God for help in desperation, seeking God to bring us relief. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. In Kenya, when I was at the depth of discouragement, my friend Evan kept telling me that being helpless before the throne of God is a good place to be. These are wise words from a good friend, but I could not appreciate them at the time. My situation did not feel good. And I can relate to Asaph's desire for immediate relief, comparing to the good days of the past and the thought that what you are going through is going to last forever. And like Asaph here in verse 2, my soul was not comforted. Maybe some of us here are seeking some comfort for our souls. Asaph was crying out to God, and he begins to ask some pretty serious questions amidst his pain. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? I want to share an illustration to help with understand these questions that Asaph's asking. So when a pilot learns how to fly a plane for the first time, there's a lot of ground school involved, a lot of studying, reading, tests, before you actually get into the plane for the first time. Landing an airplane is a new concept, as you can imagine, for most flight students. They have never done it before, so they are taught extensively about errors that they are likely to make. For example, they are taught that when you're coming into land, there comes a point where the ground will start rushing up at you. And as you get closer, you are really going to want to pull back on the controls as the ground gets closer and closer. That's just human instinct. But don't pull back too early, because if you do, you'll have a really ugly landing. I'll spare you the theory of flight around this, but the point is that before a pilot flies for the first time, they're very knowledgeable about the concept of how to land a plane. They've passed written tests, they've been drilled about it in briefings, and they can explain in detail the theory of flight surrounding it. And just about every new pilot, when they come into land for the first time, with their instructor by their side, the ground starts rushing up at them, and they start pulling back on the controls too early. Now, don't worry, the instructor's there for a reason. He's able to salvage the landing, and all is good. The pilot in that moment, however, knows in their head what was true, but the situation that they know the truth of, that they find themselves in that moment, as the ground's rushing up at them, makes everything in them question what they were taught and what they know to be true. This is a new experience for them, and their reaction is evidence not of what they know or what they've been taught, but it's evidence of what they have not fully learned. Asaph knows in his head, as we often do, the truths of who God is. But when he's faced with the reality of this pain, his knowledge of God is challenged by what he's experiencing. Or another way of saying that is Asaph's current situation does not line up with his understanding of who God is. Are we honest enough to ask the questions that Asaph asks here? God, are you good? I'm in pain. I thought you would relieve my pain. Have you forgotten about me? I thought you were with me always. Maybe some of us are uncomfortable asking these questions of God, but I want to remind you that asking these questions, we are not at risk of changing God's character. Asking these questions cannot change who God is. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. What we need to recognize is what asking these questions really means. Getting to this point of asking the tough questions in a really honest is really, sorry, getting to the point of asking these tough questions is really an honest confession of our heart, an acknowledgement to ourselves and to God that we do not understand, which is a gentle way of saying that we do not truly believe his promises. Just like the pilot knew how to land a plane, knew. But when confronted with reality of the situation, began to question what he knew. Asaph is asking the tough questions of God. But then he has a realization in verse 10. And I use the King James Version for this. And I said, this is my infirmity. After he asks these questions of God, he realizes what his true sickness is. His true sickness is his own unbelief. Asaph's true sickness is that what he knows about God, he is having a hard time believing in his current difficult situation. When our knowledge of God is not matching what we are experiencing, how do we resolve this? This is a very serious point in our walk with the Lord. We have questions of God, and our decisions here are really important. We have some decisions we need to make. We could decide to try and answer these questions using the information we have around us. Right now, amidst our pain, the way we see it from our own tainted understanding. This is often where you might see someone turn away from God or develop some incorrect theology. They've chosen to trust their own understanding. Met with pain, they recognize their unbelief and they choose to reject God or make God something he's not. Or it may lead to a response of, I do not know the answers. They're too challenging. So I will not think about it. Choosing ignorance. Or similarly, we can continue our walk with the Lord, but keep that part of our lives, our spiritual lives, private from him. Choosing a superficial relationship with God, stunting our spiritual growth. There is, however, a better option. Let's read the rest of this passage to see how Asaph responds to the pain and his own recognition of his unbelief. And I said, this is my fate, which is different from the King James Version that I just shared, but the two different translations offer the same, they offer different takes of the same concept. He's saying, I accept what is happening to me. So how am I going to deal with this? Or he says, I accept that my sickness is my lack of understanding. What am I going to do with this? And here's how he responds. The Most High has turned his hand against me. But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking of your mighty works. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. Did you notice how Asaph's perspective changed? God doesn't seem to be relieving Asaph's pain, but Asaph decides to stop looking at his own situation. He decides to stop looking around him for answers. He decides to look to God instead. Asaph makes a choice, and from his position of weakness, pain, and helplessness, he says in verse 11, "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord." Asaph makes the choice to remember God's past works. He makes another choice, verse 12, to meditate on his miracles. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. He begins to talk about what God has done. I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. Asaph asks the question of his heart. He asks, revealing his unbelief, which he then recognizes as his true sickness. When he focuses on his pain, he's in despair, questioning God's goodness and love. As soon as he recognizes what the true problem is, his own unbelief, his focus then comes off of his pain, off of his circumstance, and it's pointed to where it should have been all along, on God. It's not as if he suddenly is not in pain, but his perspective has changed. He begins to remember how God works. Meditating on his miracles in the past, digging into them and seeing his character in those situations. That perspective leads him to the admiration of who God is. After we returned from Kenya, I was desperately trying to understand what had happened. I remember asking God, "Do you really work all things for the good of those who trust in you?" This question was a confession of my own lack of belief in that promise and many others. All the frustration I was going through exposed to me that I really did not trust God like I thought I did. And God used that experience to expose in me my own unbelief. He used my pain to show me who he is, his goodness, his mercy, his gentleness, his patience, his faithfulness, and his love. Suddenly, the frustrations and disappointments I went through are no longer painful, but life-giving. Because they forced me to confront my own unbelief and seek Jesus in desperation, looking in his word and searching for his heart through it all. Hebrews 4, starting at verse 12, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Jesus understands our pain. He faced pain and he endured it perfectly, even to the point of a brutal beating and death. The pain in your life is real. It's not easy. You may be able to hide it from others, but as we saw in this passage, it's not hidden from God. Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Now we come boldly, not because of our own merit, but because of what Jesus has done. Through our pain, in our brokenness, in our confusion, we can come to the throne of our gracious God. He is waiting there with open arms, ready to comfort you. Are you ready to do that? He wants to be your comfort. He wants to fill you with his peace. He wants to be your strength. Come to him, broken and confused, and allow him to fill you with his spirit and walk you gently in his truth and in his love. He's ready to pour out his grace on you if you would surrender and receive it. In the depths of despair, Asaph turns to God, remembering his works, meditating on his miracles, speaking of all God has done. And in verse 13, Asaph comes to an important conclusion. O God, your ways are holy. O Lord, I choose to trust in you. Jesus, I will fix my eyes on you despite my circumstances. Let's pray. Lord, we don't always understand our situations, Lord. We don't always know why things happen the way they do. But Lord, I just pray that you would not allow us. You would not allow us to see you for anything than what you really are, Lord. Keep us close to you. Help us hold on to you through it all, Lord. We know that you are the God of love and peace and goodness and gentleness and patience and kindness. You can fill us with your joy, Lord. I just pray for everyone in this room, Lord, that we would surrender all our pain to you and know that you are our God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.